Father, in the name of Jesus, the Messiah, we thank you that you have given us access to your throne of grace by way of the blood of the new covenant. And Father, that you are open to our prayers, that you do hear us. And Lord, that all that we have need of comes from you, all life, because you are life. And God, today I pray that you will remove the veil from our eyes, that we may see clearly, that we may be able to hear your voice, recognize your voice today. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, and remove those things that would hinder, those things that would come between us. Topple every idol in our hearts and our minds. Purify us, Lord, and set our hearts on fire for you. Lord, I pray that you would renew a steadfast spirit in each one of us. God, I ask that you'd strengthen each one of us with might in the inner man by your spirit. That this be a year of fruitfulness, of new beginnings. As the old is gone, the new comes, Lord. May we be found faithful in this year, faithful to you and to the call. So God, I pray that you would wake us up inside. Teach us how to walk in your ways, in your truth. And grant me right now, Father, utterance to speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start the message today with a very familiar passage that I quote often. And it's, I believe, a theme for my life and for every believer. And the word is really activation. And the title of the message is Activating the Power of God in You. Activating the Power of God in You. God wants his people activated. He wants his people functioning, okay, in the giftings that he has given them. He wants us bearing fruit. He wants us displacing the enemy, amen, with the glory of God. He wants us to be on point with him, destroying the works of the devil. Because God has given to us his Holy Spirit. So everything that we have need of comes from him. And we are complete in him. But our responsibility is to activate the gift of God that's within us. And so Paul told his son in the Lord Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So as the apostle had laid hands on Timothy, God had imparted divine gifting. But he was telling Timothy that basically it's not enough just to receive something from God. You need to do something with it. Amen. And I'm telling you that your responsibility is to stir up the gift of God that's within you. Yes. And for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you need to put these two together here. First, he says, stir up the gift of God that is within you. Amen. And then he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So we're going to have to overcome the enemy of fear in order to function in the full capacity to which God has equipped us. Because the enemy is going to try to use fear to shut you down and to silence you. He's going to use fear to try to stop you from moving in your authority and using the power of God, amen, to destroy the works of the devil. So he tries to bully you and to convince you that, well, you just don't have anything to offer. When the power of God came into your life, it came the day that you received the Holy Spirit. And have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Do you have the witness in you that the Holy Spirit is in you? Acts 19 and 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Who is he talking to? Disciples, followers of Jesus. And so they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? So is it possible to be a follower of Jesus, to have faith in Jesus, and yet not have the Holy Spirit? Some believers are not aware of the power of God that is available to them in Christ. It's sad, isn't it, that there are many Christians who don't understand who they are in the Lord, the authority that is given them, the power that's available to them to do the work that God's called them to do. Amen. Because apart from Him, we can do what? Nothing. So we must rely upon God's supernatural ability because it requires God's power, amen, to defeat Satan. You and I are no match for our adversary, independent of the Lord. We need the grace of God. We need the ability that God supplies us. And as a child of God, by virtue of the new birth, when I'm born again, I receive exousia, I receive authority as a son. John 1:12, to as many as received him, to them he gave what? The exousia, the authority to become the sons of God. It's through the new birth. But we also need to receive the anointing, all right, so that we may bear witness to the resurrection. God wants us to step out beyond our own limited human capability, amen, and serve him in the power of his spirit. People need to receive from God, amen. You and I are not able to help people very much. The psychiatrist, the psychologist can't help people very much. What they need is God, amen? They need the Holy Spirit. He's the ultimate counselor. Every word that he speaks is life, it's true, and there's freedom in the Word of God. The light comes on, and the darkness has to flee. The psalmist says, the entrance of your Word brings light. So where there's light, the darkness can no longer abide. Are you hearing me today? So why was the Holy Spirit given? Well, power for service. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive dunamis, dynamic working power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God is saying to his disciples, I want you to tarry until you are endued with this power. Don't step out until you receive this endowment of power from me. When Jesus went back to the heaven, to the Father, he received the promise, right? The promise of the Father was the blessed Holy Spirit that he has poured out upon his church. But the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. Oh, the Holy Spirit is given to those who cooperate with God, those who can be trusted. You see, people are looking for power, but they're not looking to be obedient. And you get into trouble when you're looking for power but not willing to submit yourself to the Lord. Because then you can be self-driven and you can be trying to use God's power inappropriately or for selfish reasons. But as ambassadors, we are not called to represent ourselves. It's not our ministry, it's His. We're the servants, amen, that go before the Lord to represent Him. In Luke 24:46, then Jesus said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So, as God's people, it's very important that we understand what God is making freely available to us without cost, in the sense that you cannot buy the Holy Spirit. God gives his gifts to those who are open, who are receptive, and to those who are obedient. The Lord wants to know that you and I are going to be user-friendly with his investment. Paul asked the Galatians this question in Galatians 3:2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How do we receive from the Lord? We receive from the Lord the same way that we receive salvation, by believing. Putting our faith, our confidence, our trust in what God has promised that he would do. If I repent and I turn to Jesus, then he will forgive me. Amen? He will save me. Jesus said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. So whatever we need from the Lord, we receive by faith in what he's promised to freely give us. We have to be kind of like the quarterback who's waiting for the hike, waiting for the ball, patiently expecting at any time. You got to pay attention, right? Because that ball could come, and there's an anticipation, there's expectation that it's coming. It's just a matter of when. And so when we ask God, we should ask in faith, nothing doubting, expecting that what we're asking for, in agreement with what he wants to do for us, amen, and in us, that he's going to do it for us. And a lot of times, you just simply need to convince somebody that, hey, did you ask God for the Holy Spirit? Yes. Did you receive it? Well, I don't know. Well, when are you going to say, yes, I received it, I believe it? When you ask God for something, amen, you just say, thank you, Lord, I receive it. But see, you can receive the Holy Spirit. You can receive the gift of God, but do nothing with it. This is the thing. That's why you need to activate or to stir up. And of course, that word stir up means as bellows on a flame. Amen? Bellow on coals. You need the wind of God breathing again in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You need God's breath on you again. Hallelujah. So that ember will be fanned into flame again. So when we talk about revival, we're saying return to life again. You've been in complacency. You've been in apathy. You've been stagnant. You've been stale for too long. It's time to shake that thing off. Amen. And like Samson did, shake yourself. Stir up the gift of God within you. Therefore, I remind you, 2 Timothy 1:6, to stir up the gift of God. So we receive the Spirit, we receive the anointing, and we need to come to God, I do, daily, and ask him for your daily bread. How many know that God wants his people to be continually filled with the Spirit? Amen? And so some people are event people. They had an event 20 years ago. I went to an altar and I spoke in tongues. What have you done since? Well, not much. Well, why is that? Because maybe they never learned that they need to activate every day and continually the gift of God within them and continue to abide in that place in the Holy Spirit so that they become a well-watered garden and they're able to refresh others. So the power of the Holy Spirit can be dormant in your life. Unless you activate it. Some people hear me, they're sitting around waiting for something to happen. Well, God must have a purpose for me. Otherwise, I would have been gone a long time ago, or I'm still here. When are you going to discover? When are you going to say, you know, it's time to quit just talking about what could have, should have, would have, and start doing, amen, and stepping out in faith based upon the knowledge you've already received, being faithful stewards over that which God has already made clear to you. You see, a lot of times we're asking God to do for us what he's told us to do in his name. We're asking God, God, give me this, and God says, you've already got it. What are you going to do with it? You've got to activate it. Is this encouraging to you? I hope it is. Because God wants his people awake. God wants us activated again. Stirred up again. Awakened spiritually again. Hallelujah. And one of the signs that you are waking up is that you have a hunger for the Word. You have a hunger for his presence. When you're healthy, you're hungry. When you're sick, you're not. I'll just stay home and watch the game today. There's a problem there. Houston, we have a problem. Because If you're hungry for God, you'll be filled. You'll be satisfied. But if you're filling yourself up on other things, you know, that makes God angry, because God has set before us a banquet. And he's inviting people to this banquet. He's saying, come and dine at my banquet. All that you need is freely given to you. Amen. But it makes God angry when we say, well, God, I have a better idea. I'd rather feed on the polluted things of the world. You know, what God offers is always better. It's always superior. It's so amazing. I used to party hardy in the world. But man, I'll tell you what, there's no satisfaction like the satisfaction of the Lord. Amen. There's no joy like his joy. He is an amazing God. What a joy it is to serve him, to be a vessel for him, to watch God work through your own life. Well, that's the minister's job. No, it's your job. It's our job to serve the Lord together. Have you asked God for the Holy Spirit? Have you asked God for the gifts of the Spirit? Well, it's time to activate them by faith, by stepping out and trusting the Lord that he's going to come through. Elisha had requested a double portion, remember, of the anointing from Elijah. And Elijah said, well, if you see me before I go, it'll be yours. In 2 Kings 2:10, so he, Elijah, said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly, do you see the fellowship that Elisha and Elijah had together? They walked together. They talked, they communed. Elisha was always right there. Wherever Elijah went, Elisha was close by. How many know that Elijah is a type of Christ? And we're the follower of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And then as they walked, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, who else went up into heaven in the clouds of glory? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more and he took hold of his own clothes. Here it is. And tore them into two pieces. Now, why did he do that? He had to break from the old life. He said, the old life is not going to be any good here. I need to now take upon the new life of Christ. And so think about this. The Bible says when Jesus ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. When he returned to the Father, he sent the blessed Holy Spirit upon the church. There's the anointing. Amen. And Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. He's not saying there's anything greater than raising the dead. He's saying that there's going to be more and more people that are doing what I've been doing because they're in harmony and in agreement with me. Amen. And so there's going to be much more fruit. Many more people will be touched and healed and changed. And so Elisha had to do something here. It was not enough to say, well, I believe that. I believe you, Elijah. You know, a lot of people say they believe God. Intellectually, they agree with a lot of the word and the truth. But there's a difference between believing in my mind and living it out. Amen. God wants us to live this thing. God wants us to demonstrate this thing. God wants to show up and show off, if you will, amen, in the presence of unbelievers especially, so that they'll see that God is real. You know, I remember we had a young lady come one time, and she'd been involved in witchcraft. And she was convinced that Satan's power was greater than God's power. And that's why she got involved with it. But then she had an encounter with the real God, amen, the true God. And of course, those demons had to go. But we understand that people need to know that he's God, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that every knee is going to bow to him. Every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ. All spirits, amen, are subject to his name. And she had to know, because the devil has lied to so many today, because unfortunately in a lot of cases the churches have been powerless been nothing more than glorified social clubs and bingo nights and whatever else. Come on, we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the Lord. Jesus should be the center of it all. What does the Lord want? That's what I want. But what did Elisha do in verse 13? He took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. He had to do something. He had to commit himself, all right, to an action of what? Taking up the mantle that had fallen. And then he went and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. In verse 14, then he what? Took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" So he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he struck the water. And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. So Elisha activated the gift of God by an action, by faith. Faith is an action. It's more than just saying, "I believe that." Do you believe it enough to live that? He struck the water and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" In other words, he called on the name of the Lord. So after Paul had told Timothy to stir up the gift of God in him, he also reminded him again that he had not received a spirit of fear. You see, the righteous are as bold as a lion. When we receive God's anointing, it gives us a supernatural confidence, a boldness, so that we can be an effective witness for him. The devil wants to intimidate, doesn't he? He wants to shut you down. He wants to silence you. He wants to take away your liberty to speak freely what you believe. And so we need to make a determination that we're not going to become a slave to that spirit of Antichrist. We're not going to bow down to the fear of man. We're going to put our confidence in our Father, amen, and in the Lord's power that is available to us. So he will give you a supernatural boldness so that you can stand in the face of opposition, amen, and not be intimidated, because you come to a place where you know that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And God wants you to know that today, and God wants you to function in the authority that he's given you as a child of his, and don't let that devil punk you out. Amen. Then why did he say this? Why did he say God has not given us a spirit of fear? I just answered that for you. Because God wants you to know who you are in him. God wants you to shut down that enemy, to silence that enemy. He's not supposed to be silencing the church. The church is supposed to be silencing him. He wants you to doubt, the devil wants you to doubt that God will come through for you. He wants to rob you of your confidence. If he can get you to fear, he can get you into unbelief. So if he can get us to fear, he can get us into a place where we're not actually putting our confidence in God's ability. We're looking at the giant that's standing in front of us. And we're believing that somehow that's greater than what God is and who God is in us. The devil will come up and say, "You know what? Nothing's going to happen. God's telling you to go pray for somebody. God wants you to lay hands on somebody. God wants you to minister to somebody." And the devil will say, "Nothing's going to happen. You're wasting your time." The devil will come up and say, "You're going to embarrass yourself." Don't you see that that's the very problem? Is that if I'm worried about being embarrassed, it means I'm too self-centered. Because it's not about me, it's about Jesus. I'm the servant. Yeah, he's trying to convince people you're going to look like a fool. Oh, yeah. How many have ever dealt with that devil before when you've gone to pray for somebody? And all of a sudden you get this thought, well, what if nothing happens? You know, sometimes God does despite our own unbelief. Because God just wants us to know that, hey, I'm with you. I told you I was with you. But faith activates or moves God, should I say. God's always active. But God, faith will move God in our direction. He looks for somebody who wants to believe him, who's willing to be a vessel for him, who's willing to step out for him. And I tell you what, when I got born again, I didn't know a whole lot, but all of a sudden I knew that, man, things are different. I once was lost, but now I'm found. My eyes have been opened up. I'm seeing things that I never saw before. I started to want to read the Bible. I wanted to go to church. I didn't get saved in church. I wanted to go to church. And when God moves in you, hallelujah, and you wake up, hallelujah, you discover that it's a whole new life. It's a whole new way. And it's amazing to watch what God does. And all of a sudden I find myself running into people and all I want to do is tell them about Jesus. And it's amazing how I could go to a table full of people and chase them all away. But God was going to use me anyways. He was going to say, we're going to have to hone you a little bit on that. But I had the zeal. I wanted to tell people I love people, you know, and I love the Lord. And I wanted them to know about the salvation of the Lord. But I remember when all of a sudden, it's just like God would drop things in me and I begin to, you know, get this revelation. I didn't study for it. It's just God began to speak to me. And as I was speaking, hallelujah, they were being ministered to. And I remember feeling so high. Come on. You know what? God wants you to get high on him. The reason why people are going to drugs is because they haven't discovered the Most High. There's joy available. But he doesn't want us focusing on ourselves, because that's where our problem begins. When we start to think, well, what am I going to do, or how am I going to make this happen? Or no, it's like, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do together? How are we going to work today? You're not alone. It's not about you. It's about me and Jesus, right? Walking together with him, being available. And again, guys, sometimes we're asking God to give us something that we already possess. And the Lord makes it clear in his word that we are responsible for activating his power in us. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. You need to stir it up. You need to activate that gift. Don't let it go dormant. Don't sit on the treasure that God has invested in you. God has given you divine money, if you will. He's given you his grace, amen, so that you can go and you can be a blessing in this world, amen. And if you're a good steward and you start to operate, amen, step by step, day by day, steps of obedience, then God says, I'll make you ruler of much. I'll increase that anointing in your life. And you'll become even more fruitful. In the process, I'm going to have to do some pruning. And he's going to bring us to a place, hallelujah. And so the things that you're dealing with right now, you know what I'm talking about. You're going through some hard times right now. That's not a bad thing. It's God getting you in position for what he wants. And you're learning how to lean on him. You're learning how to listen for his voice, to seek his direction. Because God wants you to hear. He's speaking, but he wants us to listen and to recognize his voice. So you and I are responsible for what God has invested in us. Now, one of the ways that you can activate the gift of God in you, one of the best ways is to pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. Jude 1, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that you can pray in the Holy Spirit. It may not be an angelic tongue or the tongue of men. Amen. But praying in the Spirit, biblically, is really referring to praying in your heavenly language or in tongues. And you say, well, show me in the Bible where it says that. Well, let's take a look at this then. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? Listen, I will pray with my spirit in tongues, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So this is what I believe. This is my personal conviction, that every born-again believer who has the Holy Spirit in them can speak in new tongues. But not everybody will. Why? Because the gift of God in you must be activated. You see, people have asked God for the Holy Spirit, and God gives it to them, but they have not activated it by faith. Because it's by faith that we receive from God. It's by faith that we make a withdrawal from our heavenly bank account. And God does not want his people to become contentious over these things. People want to argue over this. Oh, tongues is the least of the gifts. Hey, I'll take the least of the gifts. If it's from God, it's awesome. You see, people go around thinking, I think this is where sometimes we get it wrong, is that we go around thinking, well, I've got this thing and you've got that thing. And I turn it on at will, and you turn that in on at will, you know. Well, guess what? God gives his gifts, amen, as he wills. All right? If you have the Spirit of God in you, then everything that you need, when you need it, is available to you. But it must be activated by your faith that God's going to come through when you step out for him. Is it making sense? And God's not a respecter of persons. God wants to use you. God wants to demonstrate his power through you. We get to do this. I tell you what, I'm having more fun now than ever in my life. And I don't get sick the next day. Some people need to stir up the gift of them, of God in them again, you see. I've had many people that come up, I've said, have you ever prayed in tongues? They said, well, I did years ago, one time. Well, you see, they just need to understand that, okay, well, then you just need to stir up the gift of God that's in you. And you need to be activated in that again. And sometimes the best way to do that is to have other believers, spirit-filled believers, come and lay hands on you, amen, and pray for you. Kind of like priming the pump, stirring it up. And but this idea of it just, we're waiting around for God to do something or something to happen when God has already told us what he wants us to do. I remember going through ministerial training, and then we went to our ordination board, and one of the brothers there, he came out, and they have this panel of ministers that come in there, and they kind of grill you. You sit there, and they ask you all these questions and stuff. And one of his brothers that went before me, he came out and he said, well, they asked me, what makes you think you've been called to the ministry? And he says, well, what part of Matthew 28 don't you understand? I thought, man, I'm going to use that one. I'm ready to go here. But of course, they were referring to pastoral ministry, the specific ministry. But all of us are called to ministry. All of us are called to be engaged in the work of God. Amen? And God wants you activated. He doesn't want you just sitting around hoping something will happen. He's saying, I've told you what I want you to do. Now you pray and ask me, amen, and I'll open doors. I'll give you opportunity. And if you're faithful in that, amen, I'll give you other opportunity. You'll become even more fruitful. Some of you have been, it's been a long time. You were functioning. You were in that place of the anointing. You were moving, amen, in the anointing of God. And it's been years. It's been kind of like just life and all the things of life have just kind of come in and just taxed you down. And you've kind of lost sight of what your purpose is. Of the why you even come to church anymore? Is it just so that we can get more educated? God equips us. This is a place where you're equipped so that you can go and do what God has called you to do. Praying in tongues will infuse you with divine strength. And by the way, we're earnestly to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. The New Living Translation says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. We don't need to keep asking God again to give us what He's already given us. God's just waiting for us to activate and to move. When He says move, we move. When He says settle, we settle. When Israel moved, it was because God was moving. Amen. When the cloud moved, they went with the cloud. When the cloud settled, they settled. So it's being led of the Spirit. Amen. So that you're not emptying out tables full of people in your zeal, but learning how to win the hearts of people. You know, the key here, guys, is that we learn how to connect with others. And we pray and ask God to help us to make a connection with those that we're addressing, those who we're speaking to. Luke 11 and 10, for everyone who asks, receives. Oh, that simple. If you ask, you receive. You see, it's always by faith, confident assurance that God will give you what you ask for because you know it's His will for you. Well, if He said earnestly desire gifts, then how many believe that God wants to give gifts to you? And how many believe that when you ask, you receive those gifts? And so then the next step is for me to activate the gift of God by stepping out in obedience and getting past my own self-consciousness, my own insecurities. You see, God can't use us if we're self-confident. He's looking for vessels that are confident in Him. That don't put any, as Paul said, any confidence in the flesh. Paul was highly educated. A Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the word very well. But he didn't put any confidence in that. When he was born again, he began to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit. And trust God that He would give him what he needed when he needed it. For any given purpose. And he said in verse 11, you fathers, if your children ask for bread, do you give them a stone? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So listen, verse 13, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give, what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. We've made it difficult. When I got saved, I started going to an old school Pentecostal church. And there was a lot of good that I learned there, okay? A lot of good that came out of it. But one of the things was that they got kind of caught up sometimes in works, you know? And that somehow you have to work for the Holy Spirit. Instead of just believe and receive, as a child would come to a father with their hands open. That's it. Lord, You said, if we ask, we'll receive. So, Lord, I thank You right now that I have received the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I thank You this day for my daily bread. I thank You that You are my bread, that You are the strength of my life. I thank You that You are always with me. I thank You that Your grace is sufficient for me, for whatever face I face. As a child, we come before the Father, knowing He's a good Father and He wants to give you His Holy Spirit. He wants to provide for you. He wants to give you counsel every day and guidance and wisdom and all that you have need of. It's our faith in God's promises that activates God's power within us. and puts it to work in our lives. Is this making sense? It's faith in God's promise that activates God's power within us and puts it to work in our lives. I believe the Lord is with me. Do you? Now, if you want to compare yourself to yourself, then usually you're going to find something that you're not going to like about you, or some kind of flaw or imperfection or idiosyncrasy or something that you will think for somehow because of that, it would disqualify me from being used of the Lord. But that's not true. God uses flawed vessels for his purposes. That's not an excuse to sin. I'm just saying that God uses us in our weakness, in our inability, in our insecurities. God uses us in that place because people who know that they don't have what it takes will come to him for what they need. And they'll receive because they're open, they're hungry. They're in a place where they know, I need God's power in my life. I need God's grace in my life. I can't do this without the Lord, without his ability. But if we're self-confident, if we go to school and we learn how to be a minister and how to be an evangelist and how to do these things, you can do all those things, but they be void of God's substance or power or Christ, and therefore it's a dead work. Now, Colossians 2:9, I love this verse. In him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in him. Do you believe that? Who is the head of all principality and power? Everything you need is in him. Your life is in him. Your provision is in him. Your strength, your wisdom, it's in him. Come on. The ability to do what he calls you to do, it's in him and of him. Through you, through me. The healing power of God. The healing power of God flowed through Jesus. Remember when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment? And she said within herself, Matthew 9 and 20, and 21, she said to herself, if only I may touch the garment, I shall be made well. Yeah. Because in verse 20, it says that suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. When did the power of God flow out from Jesus? When she touched him. Because what she did is like Elisha. She spoke and she acted in faith. She said within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment. And then she took the step of action. I'm going to do whatever it takes, even at risk of her own life in that time. She says, I'm going to get to Jesus because if I don't, I'm going to die anyways. And how many know that's the way it is, guys? We need the touch from the Master, amen, lest we die spiritually. There's no life apart from him. God wants us resurrected. He wants us resuscitated. He doesn't want us living on spiritual IV drip. He wants his people alive, amen, and well, and vibrant, strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. And in order for us to be vibrant, we have to be willing to activate the gift of God in us by faith, stirring up that gift. Ooh. So here's a few keys. We're going to finish with this, all right? Here are several keys to activating God's power within you. Number one, submit to God's agenda, not your own. If you want to be a servant of the Lord, it's got to be his agenda, not your own. It's not about making a name for yourself. You can put your name on the ministry if you want, but it's about Jesus, amen? Be willing to do whatever God says. His will never fail you because God never fails. You see, Proverbs 19:21 says there are many plans in a man's heart. We've all made plans. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that's what's going to stand. So be flexible. As a child of God, we need to be flexible. All right? Sometimes we like to get into programs that are predictable, but God's ways are not our ways. And we need to be able to move with the Spirit, amen? And be flexible to change the direction we're going, even if you're having a service. Sometimes God may say, I don't want you to preach today. I want you to lay hands and pray. Amen. Are we willing to be flexible if the Lord is telling us to move in a different direction? So you got to be flexible in this. Just be willing to put up your plans, set them aside that you might do what God is telling you to do. And God will see faithfulness and say, there's a user-friendly vessel. God's will is always in alignment with His Word. Keep that in mind. So sometimes God's going to interrupt our plans in order that we might do something different. So we got to be willing to do whatever God says, regardless of how you feel or how it looks. There's another issue. We're not to live by sight, but by faith. Sometimes God's going to tell you to do something that's contrary to everything that your natural reasoning is saying. When you look at things and you evaluate things in your own mind or understanding, well, there's got to be a logical way to deal with the situation. Well, why don't we just build a bridge across the Red Sea? That'd be a big bridge, wouldn't it? Why don't we build some boats, some pontoons or something, and we'll float across the Red Sea? I mean, what else are we going to do? Trust God. Do what He tells you to do. What do you got in your hand, Moses? Well, it's a stick. Well, raise it up, right? Moses raised up that staff. Amen. Many remember the Ten Commandments, right? The sea that rolls back. That was just amazing, right? I'd love to have been there actually seen how that really played out. Amen. That's an amazing miracle of God. But the reason why they had a miracle is because Moses was willing to obey God. Even when natural reasoning would not work. There was no other solution, naturally speaking, for them except to trust God and say, Lord, what do you want us to do here? The same thing is with our daily lives. God wants us to get to the place where we're saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. So what do I do? Show me what to do. Show me your ways, Lord. I want to learn your ways that I may walk with you. Signs and wonders are meant to bear witness to the power of the gospel, to confirm God's word. All right? It's not to bring attention to the vessel, to the person, but to the God of the person. Sometimes people are healed simply by hearing a testimony about healing. Sometimes people are saved, amen, as someone is sharing their own testimony of how God saved them. And faith rises up in their heart and they believe and they're saved. They're born again. They put their faith in Jesus. Or they called on Him. We need to ask God for revelation. Again, we got to come with expectation that God's going to do something. And then ask God for revelation as to how to pray and what to pray for. You know, 1 John 5:14, we all know this very well, but think about it. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything, what? According to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So, it's kind of important that we know what God's will is. Can I recommend a really good book? The Holy Spirit and the Word, amen, will reveal to you what pleases the Lord, what He wants you to do. Colossians 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I pray that way for you. That God would fill you with the knowledge of His will. With all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? Because I see how important it is. That we are able to hear His voice. That we're able to discern His voice. Because we are to navigate by His voice. Amen. And God will never do anything that will contradict his word, by the way. Amen. So you got to know the book. You got to know the word. Amen. Get that word in you. Because a lot of people are running after this and that, and because they're not in a place where they understand God's word. So whatever seems to be from God, they go after that. And another very important key, guys, is that we have a readiness to respond. And so as we pray according to God's word, the Holy Spirit will give you revelation as to his will. But then there needs to be the activation by responding to what he has shown you. Remember, I shared this a few, probably months ago. But sometimes we're asking God to show us what his will is, when God has already revealed to us what he expects. But sometimes what God tells us, we're unwilling to do. And if we're unwilling to do what he's already showed us to do, why should we expect that he's going to tell us more if we're not being faithful in what he's already revealed to us? Maybe we need to repent of that. I know there's times when God has challenged me to do something that was not comfortable, that I didn't feel like doing. And I don't know, we'll find out someday, amen, how many times maybe I didn't listen to the Lord. But I want to be faithful to obey his voice. Amen, because I don't want to miss a single word, as that song says that he speaks. For every word you speak is life to me. You see, he invites us to abide in his life. We abide in his life by abiding in his word, by listening to his voice, by being responsive when he's calling us and willing to step out in faith, believing that God's going to do what he said he would do. He's just looking for someone to do it through. That would be a nice song, wouldn't it? God's looking for somebody to do it through. How many here are willing to be a vessel for God? Hallelujah. How many here are willing to stir up the gift of God within you? Ooh, hallelujah. You see, it is your faith that connects you to the power of God.